for visiting HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football, men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles, and welcome to our 11th edition of the Talking Hawks podcast exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. Well, the Iowa Hawkeyes are coming off a near disaster last weekend in Bloomington. Iowa was able to escape Memorial Stadium with an 18-13 victory over the Indiana Hoosiers. It improves the Hawkeyes to 7-2 overall, 4-1 in the Big Ten, more importantly. Game looked to be in doubt until the final minutes there, and Ricky Stanzi connected with Marvin McNutt for a 52-yard touchdown pass to put the Hawkeyes ahead with 2:50 left. Indiana, of course, had the scoring drive there at the end, had 4th-and-10 from the Iowa 18-yard line. Ben Chappell threw perfect pass to DeMarlo Belcher. Belcher just dropped the ball in the end zone as he was coming down. Might have got hit by Brett Greenwood a little bit on that play, but nevertheless, it was a drop. It turned the ball over. Iowa was able to get out of Bloomington with the victory. It ended up being Kirk Ferentz's 100th career victory as a head coach in at the collegiate level. So hats off to him on that. You know, there's a lot to say. But I think it simply just comes down to this when you reflect back on last week. It clearly was not the best performance that we've seen from the Hawkeyes this season, especially when you consider the week before here in Iowa City. They absolutely pasted Michigan State to the tune of 37-6. Granted, you didn't have Adam Robinson available in your backfield. You had Marcus Coker getting the start, and he actually went over 100 yards rushing on Indiana. I mentioned that stat to you last week. He had 129 yards rushing against the Hoosiers on 22 carries. He's the third straight true freshman running back to do that against Indiana for Iowa. The problem Iowa had, at least on offense, is every time it got down to the Indiana red zone, they couldn't punch it in. And, you know, yes, Michael Meyer had a really good game. He made 4 or 5 field goals, and he was named the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. But you can't continually expect to just go down there and settle for field goals in a game like that and expect to win. Because when you do that, you're giving teams like Indiana, especially at home and on its senior day, no less, you're giving teams like the Hoosiers confidence that, hey, they can hang with you and maybe even take the lead. And they did do that. Ben Chappell scored a touchdown from 1 yard out in the third quarter. That made it 13-9 Indiana with 15 minutes left. Meyer obviously made that career-long 42-yard field goal that, you know, Ferentz described as a huge kick after the game. And the defense finally did get a stop, and it set up that winning drive for Iowa's offense. Now you look ahead here. Iowa goes to Evanston to play Northwestern this week. And this is a team that, simply put, the Hawkeyes have struggled against the Wildcats over the years. Northwestern's won 4 of the last 5 meetings dating back to 2005, which was Randy Walker's final season as a head coach before he unfortunately passed away because of a heart attack. Pat Fitzgerald then came in 2006. Northwestern came in here and absolutely destroyed Iowa that season. Northwestern was not a good team at all. Iowa was in the middle of an absolute tailspin. Ferentz used the phrase fat cats to describe how his team played that day. 2007, which is the last time Iowa and Northwestern played at Ryan Field, the Hawkeyes did win the game 28-17, and a lot of that had to do with an absolutely dominating second-half performance by Iowa in that game. It was actually probably one of the biggest highlights, if not the biggest highlight, of Jake Christensen's career as a quarterback here. That was definitely the best I ever saw him play. And the other thing I remember from that game, too, is it these guys obviously didn't get the start because you had Brian Madison, Kenny Webbema at defensive end. But it was one of the first games I can really recall seeing Adrian Claiborne and Christian Ballard both get significant playing time on the defensive line. And they both looked really dominant late in that game for Iowa. And again, that was the last time until this week anyway. That was the last time Iowa and Northwestern played at Ryan Field. The last 2 meetings have been at Kinnick Stadium. Don't ask me how that's worked out as far as the Big Ten rotations. I don't know. But nevertheless, the last 2 years they've met here in Iowa City, both times Northwestern won. Back in 2008, the final score was 22-17. You had 5 turnovers in that game, including one on a muff punt by Andy Brodell right before halftime. Northwestern scored a touchdown. And then they started the ball at the second half. They started the second half with the ball, scored another touchdown, got back into it. And, at that point in time, Iowa, look to be in a position that maybe they could still win that game, but then Sean Green absolutely got leveled on a play that, or he fumbled the ball, Northwestern recovered it, and the Wildcats on that following drive scored to take the lead for good. And then we all know what happened last year when they met at Kinnick Stadium. Iowa jumped out to a 10-0 lead early. You had Stansy actually hit Marvin McNutt for a touchdown the first minute of the game to make it 7-0. Then the score was 10-0 when, obviously, the play that still sits in every person's mind around here, when the naked bootleg rollout, whatever you want to call it, where Stansy got hit by Corey Wooten. The ball came out. Northwestern recovered it in the end zone. Meanwhile, Stansy is just laying there, got taken off the field, ended up being an ankle injury that required surgery. James Vandenbergen ended up playing the rest of that game, and he got the starts at Ohio State and Minnesota. The rest is history. But nevertheless, Northwestern won last year, not just because of that injury, but again, and this is something that Ferentz pointed out in his press conference this week, the Wildcats created turnovers, and Iowa was not able to move the ball offensively. Now, the final score was 17-10. The defense played fine. In fact, Pat Angerer, that was one of the best games of his career, at least from a statistics standpoint. He probably would have been Defensive Player of the Week in the Big Ten had Iowa actually won the game. But nevertheless, Northwestern won. It ended Iowa's hopes of an undefeated season. The Hawkeyes were 9-0. Now they're sitting in this position where they could look at it as revenge for what happened the last 2 years, but I don't think that that's the mentality that they're coming in here with. I think it's just a matter of they want to go out there and prove once and for all that they can play a clean football game. And the one thing you have to like about Iowa is, for the most part this season, there have not been turnovers. I mean, yes, there were some in the Arizona game that they lost. And Stansy did throw his third interception of the year last week against Indiana. But honestly, if you had told me 9 games into the season that Ricky Stansy would have 20 touchdowns to just 3 interceptions, I think, regardless of Iowa's record, I think people would have taken those numbers, considering his touchdown-to-interception ratio last year was 17-15. Now, the good news for Iowa is the Hawkeyes are going to have Adam Robinson back. They do know that Marcus Coker could step in when they need him to, if they need him to. But having Robinson back is going to be absolutely huge in this game, I believe, especially when you look at this Northwestern team. Northwestern had a 21-0 lead last week at Penn State and let that game absolutely slip away from them. Penn State scored 35 unanswered points, got a touchdown right before the half, and then just dominated the second half of that game. The one thing that I took away from watching that, and if you are a subscriber to this site and you read my film study column this week, you would know, I mentioned this there, Northwestern on defense especially, I noticed a lot of sloppy tackling, and I saw Penn State executing on screen plays. Well, guess what? Iowa might not run as many screens as Penn State did last week, especially if the weather conditions are as expected, which is raining in Evanston. But you have Adam Robinson there. They're more likely to run screens with him. And if they do, I think Iowa can move the ball effectively on this Northwestern defense. I think that's what it's really going to come down to, is how Iowa's offense looks. Because if the Hawkeyes don't turn the ball over in this game like they have the last 2 years, they're in a great position to not only win, but set up that showdown that everyone's been looking forward to next week here in Iowa City when Ohio State comes calling. We got a great lineup for you this week as far as guests are concerned. First off, I'll have Mike Kloss from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I'm sure all of you here in Iowa know who he is. He'll be joining us for this next segment. And then afterwards, I have Teddy Greenstein of the Chicago Tribune. He covers Northwestern, but you probably all know him if you've ever watched the Big Ten Network and seen the show Big Ten Football and Beyond. He's on that every week. We're going to have him coming on here in a little bit. He took some time out of investigating some stuff with Cam Newton at Auburn to talk to me this week about the Iowa-Northwestern game. I'm really grateful for him doing that. So we're going to have Mike Loss and Teddy Greenstein on. And then at the very end, as always, I will give you my picks for this week's pick 'em on HawkeyeDrive.com. Remember, you have a chance to submit selections yourself to me between now and 5 p.m. Central on Friday. All you got to do is go to HawkeyeDrive.com, go to the page 24 Heisman Road, the link to the pick 'em's there. You have the slate of 10 games. Submit your picks to me at HawkeyeDrive@gmail.com. Remember to include a score or your Iowa Northwestern prediction. I will use that to break any ties that may exist like what we had last week. And when we come back, I will be joined by Mike Loss and later Teddy Greenstein, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Talking Hawks podcast exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. I'm pleased to be joined this week by Mike Loss from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Mike, how's it going?
Wonderful. How's it going with you?
Doing good. I guess I'll just start off by asking you here. Last weekend, we had the opportunity to see Iowa basically pull out a game that the Hawkeyes could have easily lost in Indiana last weekend. Just what did you take away from seeing that game as far as what you feel Iowa, you know, was able to do, wasn't able to do, and what they need to do at this point between now and the end of the season?
Well, what they need to do is get the ball in the end zone when they get inside the 10-yard line. That was the only difference between that being a blowout and a game that they could have and maybe should have lost. I mean, you stick the ball in the end zone, which they've been doing all year long until that game, once they get in the red zone. That game, for whatever reason, it just wasn't happening. I don't know if Coker was worn out by the time they got to the 10-yard line or what. But I don't think that game was symptomatic of big troubles or anything like that. I think that sometimes you just have games like that.
And so you just kind of, in other words, view it as more of a clunker, if you will, based off the Iowa's body of work.
I mean, they dominated yardage-wise, and they held Indiana a good offense for 13 points. So it's not like they were lousy. They just didn't seize opportunities. I mean, Seth going to the red zone four times and only getting three field goals out of the deal is extremely atypical for this team this year. That's a good offense that they held the 13 points. So I don't look at it as that game as any sort of failure. I mean, how jaded have people become if they don't like the way that wins are coming?
Yeah, I know. You brought up Marcus Coker, and he was able to get 129 yards rushing last weekend against Indiana. Coach Behrens did say during his press conference this week that Adam Robinson was going to be back in practice and is expected to go on Saturday. What do you feel that does for the Hawkeyes as an offense, you know, being able to have him back and maybe have that 1-2 punch with him and Marcus Coker this week against Northwestern?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a 1-2 punch unless Robinson gets dinged up. I mean, I think his plan is to go with Robinson. Maybe mm-hmm. Coker will get 5 carries or 6 or 8, maybe. But he's got a horse that he's going to ride if Robinson's up to it. Plus, Robinson gives you something that Coker doesn't right now, and that's a running back who can catch passes. That's sort of a luxury item. I mean, what I mean by that is I don't think that was expected of Robinson coming into this year. I think maybe he had 10 receptions all of last year, mm-hmm. and this year he's become very adept at it. Whereas Coker, a freshman with one start under his belt, is not going to be catching any balls out of the backfield for you. So Robinson opens the offense up more than Coker can, and we saw that against Michigan State when Robinson got loose behind the linebacker Jones and scored on a touchdown catch. Mm-hmm. He's a terrific player who's having a terrific year, and what you need a second running back for with a guy like Robinson is just give him a break here and there, but I think you want Robinson in there 90% of the time minimum.
Yeah, Iowa has it's been well documented. Hawkeyes have lost two straight to Northwestern, four of the last five. One thing that I know Coach Ferentz has brought up is the fact that turnovers have really decided the last two games, especially Iowa having nine of them, Northwestern just having two. Yeah, you talk about, like, the fans' perception earlier. One thing I've always kind of noticed anytime the meetings have been brought up the last 2 years is people saying, oh, well, Iowa should have won this game. They didn't do this, or if Ricky Stanzi doesn't get hurt, and so on and so forth. I guess when you look back on those last two meetings especially, what kind of comes to your mind? Do you see it more as, you know, lost opportunities, or do you kind of agree with Ferentz that, you know, maybe Northwestern just was the better team on both of those occasions?
I think it was a better team both occasions. It played to win. It played to win. It played better than Iowa did. You know, I heard fans today. I was down with you this afternoon about all those turnovers, and it wasn't like Iowa just dropped the ball, you know? Mm-hmm. Or I mean, something causes those turnovers sometimes. And Northwestern's defense played well in both of those games. And what they smelled out that naked bootleg that they injured Stanzi on and turned that entire game around last year, that was good defense. You know, you can argue about the play call all you want, but Northwestern made that play. And the hallmark of Pat Fitzgerald's Northwestern teams, he's in his fifth year there, is that until this season, basically, they don't beat themselves. Now, they've had rough goals this year. They've lost all three games they've lost. They had, I want to say this right, they had leads in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Against Michigan State, they were up 17-0. Against Penn State, they were up 21-0 last week. So there's been an uncharacteristic team in which they haven't really seized opportunities. But it's a good quarterback. It's a good offense. It's a good head coach. You know, it's one of those deals where I was going to have to outplay Northwestern at Evanston, I think. I don't think that Northwestern is going to give Iowa the game. So, it's time for Iowa to show up this week.
Do you feel that this series has become a rivalry? Just over, I know you've been around, obviously, for a long time, and you can recall the days when it was absolutely one-sided in Iowa's favor. But just given the recent success Northwestern has had over the years, do you feel like there is a rivalry now between the Hawkeyes and Wildcats?
Well, Northwestern's won 9 out of the last 15. This didn't just start happening within the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
This dates back to the mid-90s with Gary Barnett as the head coach, and then Randy Walker, and now Fitzgerald. This is, you know, people are living in a time warp if they think that this has only suddenly become a good rivalry. Northwestern, with a few down years mixed in, has had good teams for quite a while now. You know, Northwestern's been to the Rose Bowl more recently than Iowa has. And Northwestern's been to just as many Capital One Bowls as Iowa has, which mm-hmm. is one. So this is a program that they haven't, there's some ceilings that they haven't broken through. They haven't won a bowl game. You know, they haven't, that may be the only ceiling, really, because like I said, they didn't go to a Rose Bowl back in the 90s. But it's been a consistently good program that's trying to get to that upper tier. And that's the bridge to cross right now. But it's a team that, you know, more times than not, when you line up against it, you know that you have to beat them because they're not going to beat themselves.
With Northwestern, obviously, the focal point, is at least on the offensive side of the ball for them, is Dan Persa. He played a little bit against Iowa last year and proved to be really effective against the Hawkeyes' defense, but it seems like this year he's been able to develop an arm to go with the mobility he has as a quarterback. What stands out to you about him when you do get a chance to kind of look at him and see what he's capable of?
Well, I can't say I've seen much of him. I just know what I've read. And what to me he is what Indiana is not. has a good short passing game, can move up and down the field, but Ben Chappelle's not going to run on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not going to gouge you with his feet. This guy does, Persa. He's got great instincts from what little I've seen. He knows when to tuck it and run. He knows when there's something there downfield to throw to. He's just he's a veteran quality player. And in some years, I think he would be getting all Big Ten consideration. This happens to be one of those rare years where the conference is just clogged with good quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But quietly, I guess you'd say quietly, this guy's put up some pretty terrific numbers. And, you know, if they win two out of those three games that they lost, and they could have easily won them all, they'd be 8-1 overall. They'd be tied in the Big Ten with one loss. And you would be talking about this guy as an all-conference player.
I'll get you out of here on this, Mike. What do you see as being, I guess, the keys to a victory in order for Iowa to end the two-game losing streak it has right now against Northwestern? And do you feel the Hawkeyes, if they are able to win this weekend, you know, can remain in what's basically become a four-horse race in the Big Ten?
Well, if they win, they're in the race, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-game season. If they, if they win Saturday, it's a one-game season. All or nothing against Ohio State. If they beat Ohio State after beating Northwestern, then they're going to win a share of the Big Ten title at the very worst, because there's no way in the world they go to Minnesota and lose. It's just not going to happen. So that makes Saturday awfully big. Of course it's big. I mean, every conference game's big. But it makes it very big, because if you lose the game, the air is out of the balloon for the Ohio State game, and the confidence factor's got to be very low.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State's doing what Ohio State does, which it gets better as the season gets older, and it's very tough in November. So Iowa needs to come into that game with confidence and a full head of steam. If they win the game, so that atmosphere in Kinnick is going to be crazy, 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 and I think anything can happen. But you got to beat Northwestern first. And I think that Iowa will win that game, because I think that they're going to be locked in with, I think they're going to be as focused as a laser beam, because there's a limit to how much this losing in Northwestern, I think, that that coaching staff and those players are willing to accept.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they simply have a better team, but they've got to prove it.
This is Mike Kloss from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Talking Hawks podcast, exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. I'm pleased to be joined by Teddy Greenstein. He covers Northwestern for the Chicago Tribune. Teddy, how's it going this week?
It's going great. How are you?
Doing good. I guess I'll just start off by asking you how you would describe the mindset of this Northwestern team through nine games, and especially coming off the loss last weekend to Penn State. It had Northwestern having a 21-0 lead and kind of letting that get away.
Yeah, I mean, this team is really missed right now, because, it had the lead in all three games that it lost. You know, it had the lead on Purdue, a small lead in the fourth quarter. It was up 10 on Michigan State in the fourth quarter, gave up a fake punt. And then Penn State, was up 21-0, could have easily been 24-0 if not for a missed 27-yard field goal. And then the Nittany Lions just flip a switch and dominate the game. So I think right now Northwestern has to sort of be wondering, what kind of team it has.
And just what would you attribute those problems to being that, I guess, that they've had in losing those games late that you mentioned?
That's the thing. There really isn't one theme. Purdue, the offense was kind of crappy, and, they were driving for a score at the end of the game that they could have won it, and they got a huge holding penalty. Michigan State, secondary was somewhat overmatched, if they stopped that fake punt on, I think, 4th and 8, they'd probably win that game. I mean, they, really any one of five plays in the fourth quarter, if they stopped Michigan State, they probably win that game. You know, Penn State was just really a disaster. After they got up 21-0, they let Penn State score in a 91-yard drive right before the half, and then the second half is just couldn't tackle, missed 27 tackles in the game, and the offensive line couldn't block. So just a complete real disaster on Saturday.
Now, one of the few bright spots that there has been from Northwestern this year has been Dan Persa. And, last year, he got an opportunity to play a little bit against Iowa. Now this year, he's kind of, built off of that and really had a great season. Just talk about, I guess, the progress that he's made from last year up to now.
He's a phenomenal player. He played a little bit last year when Mike Kafka got hurt. And you can see why Persa was pushing Kafka. Kafka's in the NFL now, backup for the Philadelphia Eagles. Persa, it's his fourth year in the system. He leads the nation in completion percentage, and he's arguably a better runner than he is a passer. So that would give you a sense. I mean, he's a terrific scrambler. If he were Northwestern's tailback, he would probably be their best tailback. So he's just a terrific player, very gritty, very determined, and Northwestern needs to have better players around him, so they win more of these games.
Now, looking at Saturday's game here between Northwestern and Iowa, the Wildcats have won four of the last five, including the last two. Just how would you characterize, I guess, the success that Northwestern's had against Iowa, in particular the success that Pat Fitzgerald's had against Kirk Ferentz?
Yeah, I think the last couple of years have just been turnovers, and obviously last year's game, just completely did a 180 after Corey Wooten sacks Ricky Stanzi in the end zone. 06 was the one I think that stuns Kirk Ferentz because his team was good and Fitzgerald was not, and Northwestern just, destroyed Iowa that day. So it's kind of strange. I mean, neither coach says it's because of the systems they run or, any sort of big sweeping thing. It's just been, these games, where turnovers have mattered, Northwestern's been able to win most of them.
Would you say that this series has become a rivalry now? And I ask because obviously when you had Hayden Fry at Iowa, it was really one-sided, and then Gary Barnett came in, Northwestern had its 1995 season. It seems like it's been pretty even for the most part until, just recently with the Wildcats winning four out of five.
Yeah, Gary Barnett came in the early mid-90s, and he decided that Iowa was going to be a Northwestern rival, basically because Iowa had just destroyed the Wildcats for decades. Hadn't even been close a lot of the games, and Hayden Fry once said after one of the games to Barnett, "I hope we didn't hurt any of your boys," and then Gary took that to mean, that it was this great power, and he took that as an insult. So by the time Barnett was done here, Northwestern was beating Indiana, and it's pretty much been, since where it's a 50-50 game every year. So, Fitz does not go really by rivalry games. He goes in the theory of every game's equal. Mm-hmm. But I think for Northwestern fans, and especially for Iowa fans in Chicago, it is viewed as a really good rivalry now.
I'll get you out of here on two questions. First, what do you see Northwestern needing to do on Saturday to continue the success that it's had against Iowa over the last few years?
Yeah, so one, got to tackle way better. There's no question about that. And they'll get Justin Vaughn, one of their starting quarterbacks, back. He missed a lot of the last game with concussion. So that's key because, when you're going up against McNutt and DJK, you can't. It's hard enough to stop them, when they're in the open field, let alone if you can't tackle them. So that's huge. And then, if they can run the football a little bit, that'll be a plus. I mean, Northwestern's only had one 100-yard rushing tailback in the last, year and a half. Mike Trumpy at Indiana, so that would help. And, hey, if turnovers have beaten Iowa the last couple of years, probably going to need some turnovers on Saturday, too.
And just finally, and I ask this because I know you have your pulse kind of on the whole Big Ten and not just specifically Northwestern here. How do you see these last few weeks, kind of shaping out in the conference with this four-team race, especially if Iowa were able to go into Ryan Field on Saturday and set up that game with Ohio State next week?
Yeah, I envision Iowa winning out. I also envision Wisconsin winning out, and I think Michigan State's going to lose to Penn State that final Saturday. So I see it as Wisconsin going to the Rose Bowl and Iowa being picked by one of the BCS bowls for as an at-large selection.
This is Tate Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Talking Hawks podcast, exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. I'd like to thank both Mike Loss and Teddy Greenstein for being my guests this week to discuss the Iowa-Northwestern game. I appreciate both of them taking the time to come on and talk to me. Before I give you my picks for this week's HawkeyeDrive.com pick'em, just another reminder, you yourself have a chance to participate. All you got to do is go to the pick'em page on HawkeyeDrive.com. It's under the just hover over 24 Heisman Road. You'll see the link. Click on it. You have the list of 10 games. Submit your picks to me at HawkeyeDrive@gmail.com. Again, you have until 5 p.m. Central tomorrow to do so. Remember to give a score with your Iowa-Northwestern pick. I will use the scores that I'm given to break any ties that may exist at the end of the night on Saturday. So without further ado, let's get right to it. We'll start here with Kansas State and number 20, Missouri. The Tigers have lost two straight, but are 7-2, still 3-2 in the Big 12. K-State is 6-3, 3-3 in conference play. Kansas State is actually ranked in the BCS top 25. They're ranked 24th and Missouri 17th. This game doesn't really have the luster that it might have had before because of Missouri losing last week to Texas Tech. But nevertheless, this is still going to be a good game. I like Missouri, especially with the game being in Columbia and with it being the Tigers' senior day. So I'm going to go at Mizzou there. Number 15, Utah, coming off an absolute beatdown at home by TCU last week, travels to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. The Irish are coming off a bye week, but they're in absolute free fall right now. They lost the last couple of games to Tulsa and Navy. And meanwhile, I mentioned Utah was undefeated, ranked in the top five until last week when TCU came into Salt Lake City and crushed them. I expect the Utes to bounce back here and leave South Bend with a victory over the Fighting Irish. I'm going to go with Utah. The Deep South's oldest rivalry, Georgia and Auburn. The Tigers are ranked second, 10-0 overall, 6-0 in the SEC. Georgia, meanwhile, sitting at 500, 5-5, 3-4 in the SEC. If Auburn wins, the Tigers are going to go to the SEC championship game as the winner of the West Division because it's going to hold the tiebreaker on LSU. Obviously, the whole thing here is the deal with Cam Newton. I expect him to play in this game. And assuming he does play, I like Auburn to win this game at home and move on to those two showdowns. First one being in Tuscaloosa the day after Thanksgiving at Alabama in the Iron Bowl. And the second, of course, being the SEC Championship game in Atlanta on December 3rd. Or excuse me, December 4th. Not December 3rd. December 4th. Again, I'm picking Auburn here because I think Cam Newton will play. And assuming he plays, and assuming Auburn continues to win because of him, I don't see how you can vote against him for the Heisman Trophy. Unless something unravels here between now and the day that everybody has to submit their votes. Really, as long as he's eligible to play, I think you got to go with him because he's the most electrifying player in college football right now, and it's really not even close. Now, great, okay, Kellen Moore and Michael James are both having good seasons. Don't get me wrong. But Cam Newton is so much more valuable to his team, I think. Because let's be honest, if he's not the quarterback, Auburn's not in this position right now. Not in the SEC. Boise State's still going to be a good team without Kellen Moore. Maybe not a top five team, but they're still a good team. Oregon proved, you know, early in the season they could win without LaMichael James. They have a good enough offense. It doesn't matter who's back there, in my opinion. Anyway, that's for a later talk. I'm going with Auburn to beat Georgia. Big Ten game here. Penn State and Ohio State. Penn State, obviously, we mentioned they beat Northwestern last week. It was Joe Paterno's 400th career victory. It made the Nittany Lions Bowl eligible. They're sitting at 6-3, 3-2 in the Big Ten. Really kind of turned things around with Matt McGloin as a quarterback. Meanwhile, the Buckeyes are coming off a bye week. They're ranked number 8 in the AP poll. They're 8-1 overall, 4-1 in the Big Ten, just like Iowa. I expect the Buckeyes to win this game at home and set up that showdown with the Hawkeyes next week at Kinnick Stadium. And it's basically an elimination game between Iowa and Ohio State. Last year it was a championship game. This year it's going to be an elimination game. I like the Buckeyes over the Nittany Lions. Texas A&M coming off a huge victory over Oklahoma last week, now ranked 23rd in the country and bowl eligible, 6-3 overall, 3-2 in the Big 12. They visit Baylor coming off an absolute beatdown from Oklahoma State last week in Stillwater. Nevertheless, the Bears are still 7-3 overall, 4-2 in the Big 12. I'm going to actually go with Baylor here. I know A&M's ranked, but they're coming off a huge victory. I'm sensing maybe a bit of a letdown happening here, and I think the Bears are going to come into this game very focused, given what happened at Oklahoma State last week. So I like Baylor to win at home. Number 17, Mississippi State. Number 11, Alabama. Both teams are 7-2 overall. The Crimson Tide coming off a huge loss to LSU last week in Death Valley. Meanwhile, Mississippi State is coming off a bye week. Also coming off tragic death of one of its players, Nick Bell, who was diagnosed with cancer just a short while back, and unfortunately he lost his battle. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family and with the program, considering those circumstances. It's going to be interesting to see how Mississippi State comes out because of that. I know obviously they had a bye week. They've had time to heal, but you don't know how long it takes for some people to recover from something like that. You know, we saw it with UConn last year, the player they had that got murdered. They went to West Virginia, fought valiantly against the Mountaineers, lost that game. But then later in the year, they found a way to go into South Bend, beat Notre Dame, and they won their bowl game over South Carolina. It's going to be interesting to see how Mississippi State handles things this week. I can't picture them winning this game. It'd be a great story if they did, but Alabama just coming off the loss last week, I don't see them losing this game, especially with it being in Tuscaloosa. So I like the Crimson Tide here. South Carolina and Florida, the Gamecocks are ranked 22nd. The Gators are ranked 24th. South Carolina coming off an embarrassing loss at home last week to Arkansas. Both teams are 6-3 overall. Both teams are 4-3 in the SEC East. This is the SEC East championship right here. I mean, the winner of this game is playing in the SEC championship against probably Auburn. South Carolina's looked like a great story all year, but the Gamecocks have reached a point in the season where they usually do this, and I just, as much as I think it'd be really fun to see Spurrier go down there and win that game and take South Carolina to SEC championship, I just can't see them winning in the Swamp. Not when Florida looks like they've turned things around. I'm going to pick the Gators at home, and it's going to set up an amazing game between Florida and Auburn, considering the whole Cam Newton saga. Number one, Oregon, 9-0 overall, 6-0 in the Pac-10, visits Cal. The Golden Bears are 5-4, 3-3. I don't see this being much of a contest. I like Oregon, even though the game's in Berkeley. And finally, we have USC visiting number 18, Arizona. The Wildcats coming off a loss to Stanford last week, 7-2 overall, 4-2 in the Pac-10. USC, meanwhile, is 6-3, 3-3 in the Pac-10. I actually like the Wildcats to win this game at home, bounce back nicely. Nick Foles being back in the fold for him is definitely a big thing, plus the fact that this game's in Tucson. And Arizona did beat USC last year out at the Coliseum. So I like the Wildcats in this game. Now, on to a different set of Wildcats. Iowa, ranked 13th, visiting Northwestern this week. It's an 11 a.m. game at Ryan Field in Evanston, Illinois. Northwestern's won 4 of the last 5. Iowa needs to win this game in order to remain in the hunt for the Big Ten title. To me, it comes down to turnovers. It comes down to how the offense looks against Northwestern's defense. Obviously, yes, Dan Pursa is a great quarterback. We've talked about him at length during this podcast. And the defense is going to have a challenge trying to shut him down. But to me, it's all about the Iowa offense here. It's all about Ricky Stanzi. It's all about Adam Robinson. It's all about what these guys are able to do, especially given the conditions. The good news is Iowa's played 2 games in the rain this year, and both times put up a fair number of points. They had 45 points against Ball State, 30 against Wisconsin, even though that was a loss. To me, it comes down to how Stanzi looks, seeing him play a full game against Northwestern. You obviously don't want him to get injured again. Seeing how Adam Robinson bounces back from his injury. And seeing if Iowa can actually hold on to the football and not have those turnovers that have, you know, brought them down in this game against Northwestern the last 2 years. If Iowa can move the ball on this defense and can avoid the turnovers and, you know, actually capitalize when they get in the red zone, I don't think the Hawkeyes have any problem winning this game. But, again, I look at Northwestern, they're kind of like the Manny Ramirez of Big Ten football here. No matter what happens, it's just Northwestern being Northwestern. Nothing surprises me with this team. They could win this game and it wouldn't surprise me. Iowa could beat the Northwestern like a drum and it wouldn't surprise me. I'm going to pick the Hawkeyes to win this game, but, you know, I'm very cautious here with this pick. But I'm going to say Iowa wins. I'm going to say 28-17, just like 2007. I like the Hawkeyes to win, and it will set up that big game here in Iowa City next week against Ohio State. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Talking Hawks podcast. Again, I'd like to thank Mike Colosso of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and Teddy Greenstein of the Chicago Tribune for being my guest this week. I also thank you for tuning in. If you travel out to Evanston this weekend for the game, have a safe trip there and back. And real quickly, with this being Veterans Day, I would just like to give a big ups to everyone who has ever served this country, whether they currently are at the moment or have in the past. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. And we wish you nothing but the best in everything that you do. Hope you're having a great day. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll be back again next Thursday with our next edition of the Talking Hawks podcast. I'm Brendan Stiles, signing off.